Oh, look at that. Did you guys see that the sun is out? It hasn't been out in like 4 days. You're lucky you left California, dude, because the state is blowing up.
Saw it coming.
Do you think that Tennessee is a better place?
Absolutely.
Now, is that because of the people? Is it because of the landscape? Is it because of the lifestyle, the cost? What's going on?
Well, I got to tell you, when we got here, now you realize that my wife is born and raised and never lived outside of California. She hit the
Okay.
ground in the airport in Nashville, and she looked at it and she goes, "I have arrived." She just got this sensation that she is home now. And I can't explain it to you. And I tease her all the time because now she sits down with me to drink bourbon. She's listening. She's not just listening to country music.
She sings.
What blows me away is I'm in there here in the bathroom. She's singing. She knows the damn words. I'm like, how could you possibly know the words of this shit already, right? So it's a
There is
very
something rich about that country lifestyle.
it's very friendly. Okay, you identify with it right away. It's like
Yep.
the people around us. I mean, the neighbors bring over cookies. I got to cut my grass from it. I mean, this really. Now, you just feel like you're safe. It's tranquil. And I mean, I can't speak for all of Tennessee. I'm just telling you where I live. And Franklin is very, very friendly and very, very entertaining. I mean, entertaining in the respect that it's, I don't know how to express it, but I like our house. I mean, we got a good piece of property. And my neighbors are close enough, but far enough away.
Out of curiosity, when you wake up in the morning and you just go for that bike ride out to PCH and you get to see the sunshine and the ocean, and it's like all hitting so perfectly. It's almost a screensaver. Like, do you miss that? Do you have those moments?
Yes. No, I do miss that. I won't lie to you. I miss that. But I will tell you that the thing about how many times have you heard of someone being killed by a crazy guy in a car on the PCH and their bike? I mean, when I ride, when you come to visit me, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to take you for a run. And just like the old days, I'm going to chase you with my e-bike that's collecting all this data. And when we go down my street and do whatever we're doing, if a car comes, it will slow down to 10 miles an hour, give us wide berth, and as they pass you, they're going to wave at you. Like,
I
hello,
do like
neighbor.
this.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
liken
and
California to dating a 10. I mean, you've got this, like, it's a 10, but the shit that you have to put up with to spend time with this 10, the amount that it will fuck your life up on a psychological, financial, every single level to maintain this 10 is just, it's chaos.
I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Now, so people would like to believe that the reason I came here was because of the politics, the crime, and all those things. But you know where I used to live. There was no crime. I had no issues whatsoever with any of that kind of stuff because I lived a, you talk about living in a bubble.
Yeah.
Pretty much live in a bubble. You know, I stay home, I'm training, I'm
Oh, dude,
dealing
you had
with
a
all my
great
stuff
life.
right at
You
home.
had a good community,
So
good
I never go
neighborhood.
anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I never go anywhere, so I'm not affected by all that crap. However, the taxes and circumstance like that, you know, we don't have a state tax here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what state
So
tax does.
same here.
I don't know what state tax does in California, because it is the biggest dog shit state on the planet. I mean, if it wasn't for the dirt and the sunshine out here, I don't get what the hell they do with all the money. Dude, literally the Whole Foods that we go to in Venice Beach now is, have you ever seen Mad Max, the second one, where they
Yeah.
have that circular oil bunker and there's crazy people charging the gates? That's
No, I
Whole
know.
Foods in Venice now. There's gates all around it,
The
and there's like psychopathic, like gay boy berserkers charging the gates. Like, it's
gassers.
gay boy berserkers charge the gates. Like, you're like, what the fuck is going on? The funniest thing about all this,
They tax you for the weather. Your geography and the weather is what you get taxed for. And then
dude,
the money just disappears.
we're sitting at Whole Foods and there's a security guard. He is so fat that he has his iPhone, he's standing, and His iPhone is resting on his belly, and he is just watching videos on his phone while everybody's coming in and out of the store. I could have robbed the store blind right in front of him. So you've got literally the most expensive grocery store in the world with the fattest, most lazy security guard maintaining all of it together, and then chaos all around it. And I was like, this
if he tries to stop you, if he tries to intervene, they'll fire him.
I know, but that's what I'm trying to say. That was the
And why don't you just steal anyway?
Description of California.
If it's under $1,000, you just get a slap on the wrist. It's not a felony. It's not a charge. It's nothing. So you can essentially just go steal $999 worth of groceries at Whole Foods in California, which is probably going to be maybe
three items.
Six or seven items.
Three items.
Chicken and
coconut water, a box of cereal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then
– So you guys – I know you guys don't listen to country music, but there's a guy named Jason Aldean.
Hold on.
My town?
I'm from Texas, Rich.
Are you talking about that My Town?
I'm sorry, bro. So Jason, he said, not in my
love
town.
That song.
So that's exactly what's happening here. If you tried to do a smash and grab in Franklin, you wouldn't get 15
You'll
feet
get
out the door
grabbed.
Without you dropping your little cat.
Yeah, you're going to get smashed. You're going to get smashed.
I don't understand. How there's so many like intelligent, aware people that are all on the same page about this, yet we're still living in this crisis. Like, I don't get it. The thing that I run into is I can't necessarily quit California because of the style of training that I'm still doing.
I agree with you. Like, if I could live anywhere, it would either be based off of weather, I could get good food, and geographical.
Where in Texas do you live?
Just south of Houston. So we have hills that are called bridges, and you get like 80 feet of elevation. But I would either live in California like Hunter, or you'd have to go to Italy or Spain. That's the only way that you would get that weather.
I'm not from California, but I lived there for 30 years and owned businesses there the whole time I was there. And I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed it there. And
because you're in Tennessee now, right?
I'm in Franklin, Tennessee. So
you're from Michigan, aren't you?
I cut my cost of living by over 50%.
Yeah.
Over 50%. My cost of living dropped.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because like here in Texas as well, like there's a ton of people that move here and they're like, oh my God, it's so cheap. And I'm like, okay, just remember that. Just remember why you moved here. And I'm like, that's it. That's all I say. I'm like, nope, just remember why you moved here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. People hear the same thing. They want they want you to realize you came here for the lifestyle that they're living and for you not to fuck it up.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like we're welcome to all just – I don't come to your yard and throw rocks at you while you're mowing. So
I do. Yeah. Depends on what your name is. There's a short list that I have attached to my wall of people that I hate that I think about daily.
I'm on that. I'm on the love and the hate wall.
I'll put it to you this way. My competitors, I watch their stories on my phone, like a reel that loops. I was holding about 315 watts to 420 watts for the majority of that bike ride, just watching the same person do the same thing over and over again.
You remind me, do you remember Larry Johnson?
No.
He used to play for the Hornets back in the day. He did Grandmama basketball. So remember the old NBA videos on VHS? It was like the slam dunk jam videos and all that. So he has this thing where it shows him working out and he's joking around. He's going, Olajuwon. Barkley, O'Neal. That's how he's counting his reps, is like naming off all of his competitors. That's Hunter.
Is God fucking you piece of fucking shit. Is your guys' internet suck or is it just me?
It's just you.
You're fine.
I fucking hate this place. Give me 2 seconds, guys. I don't know what the hell
you're
doing.
You're coming in fine. Stop.
I pay Elon Musk my money now.
Well, don't surf the internet while it's trying to use you for the video.
or you just froze up.
All right, wait, hold on, hold on. I changed networks. Do you guys see me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can see you the whole
time. Okay, so I live in Malibu, California. It is probably per square foot the richest place in the entire world, maybe outside of some places in Saudi Arabia, which is like one sand dune. It has the worst cell phone service and internet bandwidth of any place on the planet. When I was hiking the Appalachian Trail over by where your house is, I had full service in the middle of nowhere. I would like call my mom. And so I just invested all this money into getting Starlink now. So I'm hoping like every once in a while, my computer will jump over to the shitty network. And then if I go back to here, I have great service. So can you guys see me and hear me now?
Yeah, you're fine.
All right. I'm very grateful. Brock, I'm grateful. Brock set the whole thing up. All right. Now that we're done shitting on California, we did come here with some intentions. Everybody, we're happy to see our guests over on the side. Jody, we have a female listener, guys. I want everyone to give a big shout out. We have our only female listener here. What's going on? Big shout out. We never get chicks coming to check us out, Rich. It's kind of a dude show.
They're here because so, I'm here.
That's right, dude. The babe, the dude, babe. So if anybody hasn't heard of Rich before, I'm going to give you guys the elevator story. Rich, as I know it, is probably the foremost expert on biomechanics and running form, at least that I know in the entire world. I've worked with so many coaches and I've spent so much money and read so many books. And I think a lot of them are charlatans, not only because they realize that it's an easy cash grab, but they end up taking like one shitty course that took them 30 minutes. And now all of a sudden they're an expert. Rich, I believe, has tested how many tens of thousands of people's VO2 maxes?
I have no idea. I mean, it literally, you know, it's funny because my wife overhears some of these conversations, and she's been with me for over 24 years now.
Yeah.
And so she hear me in conversation say, I know I've tested probably 5,000 people. She said, you were telling people that 20 years ago. Yeah. She goes, it's way, way more than that. And I don't keep track. I mean, it's not like I got this ledger. I'm like, you know, like these guys that do LASIK surgery, when I tell you they did 10,000 surgeries, I start doing the math. Say, how in the hell could you have done 10,000 of these things, right? But I have done a tremendous amount of testing. And it's been very good for me because I learned. You know, it's like these people come for information, but I'm learning from them. I'm gathering information based on the cause and effect relationship with the information I gathered. So,
well, I mean, that's true science, right? True science is like, even though you know what you're doing, you're going in and you're testing and then you're consistently learning. So your testing and your methods and your protocols are always evolving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, I get guys that are in the business, you know, exercise physiologists, they'll reach out to me and ask me what my protocols are. And I would tell them, I said, well, I don't follow any standard protocols, you know, the typical protocols that are conducted doing VO2max tests. I've dispatched those years ago. I'm like someone tuning a piano. You know, they hit the key, they listen, and they tune. And so I've been doing that with athletes forever. And it's funny because like for example, Hunter's a good example. I'll test them over and over and over again, and the approach is systematically ingrained based on the way I see him move. It's not like I'm going to say, well, in 2 minutes I'll do this, in 2 minutes I'll do that. It's just I'm watching the way he moves, and it evolves through the course of the test. But it doesn't. There's not much deviation in the approach, and it's not by you know, I'm trying to make it like the last time. It just happens that way. So that comes from experience. I can't tell you how important it is to have that depth of experience when you start delving into explaining to people how they should approach their training.
Well, we've worked together for a decade now. I reached out to you the first time in 2014, and Rich did a VO2 max on me. He laughed at me because he thought I was a loser. And then slowly over time, I kept on coming back, and I slowly gained his respect. And we've competed and trained together through three different sports: obstacle racing, CrossFit Games, and now High Rocks. And he found, I mean, my body's changed tremendously across all of these tests. Like, obviously, when you're doing Spartan race at the championship level. It's about 2.5 hours of pure heart rate in the mountains, raw potential of just aerobic ability. CrossFit Games is anaerobic, you know, power output. HYROX is this lactate threshold ability to sustain power across many different modalities. So interesting characters, interesting mathematical equations, yet we still seem to be near the top on almost all of these tests, and he's been a big part of it. So I always tease Rich to come out and come train with me, and he's always like, I'm too busy testing soccer moms, VO2 maxes, and he doesn't give me the fucking time of day. So he recently reached out to me and he said, you're running like shit. Now, I can tell you this, over 200 pounds at least, this is by far the fastest I've ever been. You know, I'm able to sustain intervals at sub 5 minute pace over and over and over again for long periods of time. And my weightlifting is insane right now. It's the strongest I've ever been and the fastest I've ever been. Now, there's a couple times I may have been faster with Rich when I was down at 184 pounds when we first started. We were working together back in 2016. But in my own world, I consider myself to be quite a hot shot. But Rich immediately messages me and says, you run like shit. You're slow. And I'm posting these videos on Instagram, and I'm like, man, the whole world's going to be fucking trembling watching me wreck these intervals. And Rich is the first person to reach out and be like, you suck.
We always have to have our humbling corner.
Look, in my defense, okay, and in your defense as well, I do not just randomly criticize people when I see them run. But in my mind, in my eye, I'm constantly aware. I am the biggest geek when it comes to watching people move. I look at their feet and I look at their knee. I mean, I can walk down the street, any street, and I am conscious of the shoes people are wearing. I am conscious of their gait patterns, and they could be 80 years old. And I'm not going to say, hey, you know, you need to do this or that. I don't get in their face. So what I said in your defense, you should be honored that I took the time to tell you that, because some people should hear it and they don't get to hear it, right? Some people don't get to hear it.
And hey, okay, I wish Rich would message me randomly.
Okay, yeah. So let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I'll make a comment. Sorry?
What do you see different in Hunter's run gait pattern that we're all missing here? Because based upon the facts of Hunter's data analysis, you know, he's faster, he's stronger than he's ever been hitting five. You did a video of 5:15 intervals on mile pace. What are we missing here?
Well, okay, so here's the variables, okay? It isn't just about how strong you are. It's not just about how much endurance you've created for yourself, or how much resistance to lactate production you can create for yourself. The biomechanics is everything. I thought about this morning before our call, because I was thinking various analogies to share with you. And so what I see, and I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, because you know, I'm not like
I'm
conscious of people's feelings. I look at Hunter and the boys that are out there doing what they're doing, and it reminds me of when a couple puppies show up in my backyard to play with my dog. They're all excited and they're running around ham. They're not conscious of movement at all. They're just running. And the faster dog wants to beat the other dog. So they're always competing with each other in the yard. And that will lead you astray. When you get to a place where your consciousness is just to be in front of the other people, you're going to discount the movement patterns that are necessary in order to remain in front of those other people. So let's talk about biomechanics for just a brief moment. What I look for typically when I see somebody moving is where their contact point with the ground is in relationship to their gait.
All right, let's bring up a video. Go ahead.
So what I
what
I typically see is someone is, and this is a tip. I'm giving a tip. Okay, is when I see somebody pulling at the ground, opposed to pushing themselves through space. And the pulling at the ground is an intuitive thing. You're trying to get yourself ahead of the other, get yourself ahead of the clock by reaching for ground that's ahead of you and pulling yourself towards it. And by doing that, you are going to have a moment in time where there's a breaking force or a collision that needs to be recovered from. So okay, changing.
Can you bring up the most recent video? Not this one, but the one that I just did yesterday, and mute it because it's going to get exhausting. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So, boom.
I mean, I look like I look like a gazelle. Look at that sexy, sexy sex panther body. Look at that.
Look at, if I slowed that down to about a quarter speed, your heel striking on the right side, your right leg's leading ahead of your left leg, and you're pulling yourself across the ground. You're working your ass off in order to gain what you're getting. I want to lower the cost of work. I want to get you in a position where you're pushing yourself.
Look at that. Yeah, you're beautiful. Beast, though.
Two different colored shoes. You're amazing.
Dude, if there was a brick wall, I'd blast through all of them.
Hunter is a direct representation of his truck. Like, yes. You can put athletes according to their cars, right? Like a 100-meter sprinter is a top fuel dragster. You have Le Mans cars, which are going to be your marathon runners. And Hunter is a Baja truck, or his Ram TRX. Just a big, fast truck.
So, you know, what's interesting about this is that relative to the competition, he looks really good.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to start – you know, throwing any particular individual under the bus.
Yeah.
But as Hunter will attest, I rarely show up for these events. I was in Chicago last year, and I'm watching these guys in a high rocks competition, and I would say 80% of the elite field needed a tremendous amount of work with the way they were moving. I didn't say a word to anyone about it.
So I'm dragging and I'm breaking. Dude, my whole right side is actually pretty fucked up right now. So
appreciate this, if you will. If I can change the dynamic of where your contact point is, I will get you another 15 seconds per 1 kilometer, which is going to drop your overall time by a few minutes.
I agree. That's why we're having this conversation.
That's why I'm coming to California.
Listen. Now, Rich has agreed to come out to California. Now, this is the first time Rich has ever bridged the gap. The only way I was able to do this is I was able to put a bottle of scotch on a string and slowly drag it from his front door all the way to my house.
Are these all the bets that you're finally paying up on?
I feel like a bet is about to get laid down.
Listen. Rich and I, as I said, have a decade of a relationship that is dynamic in most ways people would understand. Only the respect that I could have for him had to be developed over all this time. And obviously, as I've said to everybody, I was making a video today, you are like Yoda in the swamp. Like, you are the guru, but you're a hard person to get a hold of. You live out in the swamps of Tennessee, and you're doing your own thing. You're doing your own thing. We're all doing our own thing. But I do find what you're saying to be true. I've known it to be true. And obviously, like, at this point in my career in high rocks, like, I'm not really interested in racing anymore. I'm interested in wrecking people. Like, that's all I care about. Like, you know, I'd rather just not, like, DC is coming up. I just, like, who gives a shit? Like, I'm not going to go to DC and go pick up $6,000, which is going to be spent on beer and corn dogs. Like, I'd rather work with Rich and get the work done and wreck the competition, even if there was no paycheck aligned. And, like, let's get into the brass tacks here. So you say my running form is costly. What are the main features here? You're saying I'm heel striking right side, and what was the other one?
Well, so let's just, again, the principal fault is that you're pulling yourself to your foot, whichever foot it might be. You're behind it. You're dragging yourself towards your feet in every step you take.
The catapult.
So when I change the dynamic of where your load is under force, your stride's going to open up behind you, and your travel is going to improve dramatically relative to every step you take. So we're talking about lowering the cost of work and increasing the distance traveled per step. who would not want that to have happen? I mean, that is exactly what, and so it's a mysterious and very complex thing to achieve. And a lot of people aspire to it. They read it somewhere. They might have read it from me. You know, I wrote a couple books. So people might have got that information from me, but their perception of what they're actually achieving relative to what they're trying to achieve is where the hiccup is. We have to alter your perception of movement. We have to change the way you're approaching the work in such a way that when you hit the ground with your foot, you know that it's correct. And when you yeah. don't, you know that it's incorrect. This is where the big, as you suggested, beyond the testing, I've also traveled all over the United States putting on clinics. As a matter of fact, I've been to Texas, I think 5 times, between Austin and Dallas, all over Southern California. I've been to Louisiana. I've been to Kansas City. I've been to Vermont 3 times, New Jersey, Chicago. I've been all over the country putting on clinics, seeing people I've never met before and watching the way they and listening to their frustrations with injuries and lack of performance. And so it's been a big study for me. Collectively, these bits of knowledge have helped me to get to a better place with what I do and what I deliver. And so it's easy for me. It takes me 5 seconds for me to see where the problem is and knowing all full well going in what the solution needs to be. But somebody needs to show them. That's the hiccup. When people come to see me, I'm going to show them what they're doing wrong, and then I'm going to show them when they've changed it to being right. And I don't know too many people that do that. You'll go to get a video analysis at some XYZ physical therapist office, and they're going to tell you, well, you know, you need to strengthen your glutes, right? They stick you on the ground doing clamshells with a rubber band or some damn thing like that. They're going after your glutes because, oh, your glutes aren't firing. Well, your glutes aren't going to fire because your contact point is putting you at a disadvantage. You're not able to access those muscles. I had a girl in here Saturday, a great athlete, by the way, American in college playing soccer, been to the CrossFit Games, strong, strong individual. And quick study, I showed her, I said, this is why you're injured. And this is what you need to do to correct. So I could get her on the treadmill with, you know, come to me injured, and within a matter of 10 minutes, she's running without pain because we changed the dynamic of her approach. So I used to tell parents this because I work with kids too, is the path to performance and injury prevention is the same path. You just have to alter the way you move. And then you need to know where you're trying to go with it. And so this is my gift. When I meet with somebody, I ferret this business out, I share it with them, and then I show them how to make the corrections. Then it becomes their issue. The advantage Hunter had with me in the past is I live close enough to him that we could spend time together, and so I can re-fortify that message over and over and over again. And then what happens with a lot of people is they get away going on and on with other folk, and they're just chasing the other guy, and then they start to get lazy about their approach, and they start to slow down or have to work harder. I mean, in his case, he's probably gotten stronger, you know, as Ryan suggested. His fitness is up, his endurance is up, and all those elements of the process are good. But the problem with it is that there's this little chink in the armor that needs to be addressed. And once it is addressed, we're going to see an increase in the performance. I believe that to be true.
So another question I have based on just biomechanics and endurance sports. Now, I've been able to get very large, and I've been able to produce more energy and more work with every movement that I do. How much of this do you think, if we're going for this elusive 50-minute high rocks time, you know, obviously, let's just say we take off 15 seconds per run with your, you know, just form alone. Now we're down from 53:15 to now 51:15. Is that right? Yeah, 51:15. Which is pretty fast. Now, how do you feel about losing weight? Because right now I'm at 203 and I'm just this fucking tank. I cannot get rid of this weight. I'm just eating. I'm trying to like cut back on some calories. But if I cut back on calories, then all of a sudden I lose wattage. Like yesterday, I was literally on the bike. I was working out for 4 hours and I was holding ludicrously high watts. And it's because I just eat sugar all day long. But then all of a sudden I get on the scale. I'm like, you fat piece of shit.
And we touched on this like last week or the week before.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on the problem? I don't think the performance decrement is your weight. I think that that weight is supporting your capacity to push that sled, pull that sled, and do all those power exercises that these other guys are wrestling. You know how many people are not doing high rocks because they can't make the weight limit? I mean, yeah. they're not being left out because they don't weigh enough, but they identify they're just not going to be able to perform well enough to compete because they don't have butt on them. That's basically it. Yeah.
The so, next three closest guys are 25 pounds lighter than me.
I got to go back to what I said a moment ago.
Yeah.
You have developed this engine. You've got this strength. You've got this power. You've got this dynamics with the ability to push off the stack tape. But we just need to move the machine more efficiently. That's really what it boils. I want to use a relationship with lifting weights. I think that's a good one. Whenever I talk to a CrossFitter, the correlation comes up. You know that technique is what gets that off the ground and over your head. If you start tossing that weight too far away from your body when you're trying to bring it up on this linear path, the cost of work is going to go through the roof. The ability to lift it is going to be removed. It's the same thing. It's just the same thing. You're just moving your weight on a linear path, and it's just a matter of the way you approach it from the ground. That's all it is.
So what would you say is like the biggest issue that you've noticed with just watching this new sport emerge? Like, what are some of the biggest characteristics that athletes are ignoring? Obviously, you've addressed the biomechanics of running alone, but is there something that you've just noticed through all this training and testing that's pretty profound? You're just like, man, if I could just sit in front of these people and say this one or two things, it would change them drastically.
Yeah, well, the thing that jumps out at me, and the thing that's really been giving me a sore ass in the last year, is all this conversation about zone two training.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about
it. I mean, it's an anaerobic sport. It is an anaerobic sport. And if you're hoping that if you dedicate weeks on end to low intensity, low heart rate type training in order to mechanize more fat during your work, soon as the gun goes off and you have to go anaerobic, it's not going to serve you. You're not going to see such a significant shift in your threshold because that dedication to that low intensity training that's going to pay the rent when it comes time to race in an anaerobic sport. You need to develop your anaerobic capacity. This is the book I wrote was all about. And by the way, Hunter, I have to credit you. You're on the cover, for God's sakes. I have to credit you with the conversation that we had back in the day when I said, I want to write a book called Training the Dark Side. And the dark side is about what happens when you go anaerobic and how you contend with that energy system. And so it's funny. It's like, I coach athletes virtually. I'll show up at an event. The gun goes off and everybody goes off like a scalded dog right out of the gate. Right. And so when they train, their process is they start out low intensity, progressively pick it up. Maybe they do some intervals here and there, but they never train themselves for what happens when they've really got to, you know, drop the hammer. And so when the event calls for that, they're inept. They're incapable of getting it done. And they suffer the consequences middle of the event. And they have to slow down well enough to try to rid some of that lactate so they can get back on game. So what I've learned from you, you know, and I talked about the study I gather from the people I've worked with. What I've learned from you is I watched your body morph over the course of these different episodes, from being a high endurance type of an athlete to polar opposite, trying to really get big into the CrossFit strength component. You changed. You put on more muscle, more dense muscle. And so anybody that understands anything about muscle physiology is that slow twitch fiber is very porous. It's very oxidative. It allows oxygen to travel through it and then also liberate fat as a fuel source. High intensity, slow twitch fibers are very dense. They do not, I'm trying to read this at the same time. They do not allow for oxygen to transport through the muscle very effectively. You've developed a lot of dense muscle. And that dense muscle,
yeah, I've got dense muscle.
It relies on that glycolytic path, all right? And what nobody talks about, I've never spoken to anybody in the business or otherwise that talks about these metabolic transporters that reside in these various fibers. So you, unintentionally, the outcome for you was through this metamorphosis is you started to develop the ability to flush that lactate out of the working muscles quicker. There's a very unique path to cause that to have happen. And nobody discusses that. Nobody thinks about that. I learned it from you. So thank you. You made me a better coach and clinician.
I did my best to help. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I will say that what pays my bills for sure is that specific work that you're talking about right now. But I even took away time from that like zone two training for a little bit just to get my power output over the past couple months. And then I brought some zone two work back in. And I don't know if it's psychological or if it's just moving the body more often that makes it feel better. I don't know. But
zone two is like recovery. Feel better. I'm not saying don't go there. I'm just saying it should not be the dominant influence over the course of your training.
I only focus on 2 days a week. You know, I've got my Monday session and I've got my Friday session. Everything else in between is just basically like a blanket to make myself feel a little bit warmer at night. But the thing
under stress.
Yeah.
It's like weightlifting, time under tension.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
So I'm doing about 60 minutes at threshold or above threshold every single week. If you do the math, I'm doing like 4 by 8 minutes plus 5 by 4 minutes. So then all of a sudden you're left with 4 by 8 is 32. So you're around 52 minutes of intensity, give or take some other movements around there. So I'm anywhere between like 50 to 70 minutes in a 15 to 18 hour training week. So it's really my real high workload is below 10%.
But that workload, that 10% though, is hard. And I think that's where a lot of people make the mistake is they think, oh, the 80-20. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. But when you get to that small percentage, they hold back way too much. And I'm like, you need to attack the shit out of that speed work. It needs to suck. Because the only way to increase your capacity is to sit there and raise the ceiling. You've got to push.
You got to visit. So this 80-20 thing, okay? The principal providers of that equation, Steven Seiler, from Norway, it was the first one to kind of broach
that's
that.
And what I was going to get, Rich, to interrupt you real quick, what are your thoughts on the Norwegian double threshold?
So Seiler reached out and started analyzing data. And he's looking at cross-country skiers. He's looking at professional cyclists. He's looking at rowing. And he's looking at collegiate level or Olympic level athletes or even endurance runners. We're talking about a completely different animal. People are trying to take the suit off the rack and make it fit for everything that they do, right? And nobody talks about HYROX because HYROX is the baby in the sport world. There's no money at the top for physiologists to delve into the where to for. Everybody's trying to put their endurance-based training methodologies and put it on top of something like HYROX or put it on top of CrossFit. And it doesn't fit.
I've been saying that for a long time. It's ridiculous how all of a sudden you're watching people taking the Jack Daniels running method and then they take a premium level CrossFit training program and then they just paste them on top of each other. And I watch these athletes run for like 8 to 16 weeks and then just blow themselves out of the fucking water. And
It's
not a marathon. A HYROX is just simply not a marathon.
No. And can I tell you something? I deal with this all the time. I'm not outside training. I'm not running around. I'm sitting in front of this computer, and I'm pouring through research, and I'm writing another book. So I'm vested in the science of sport. And what I've identified is that, you know, it always chases the money. The athletes chase the money, and so do the scientists, right? How many years has triathlon been in the world today? And all the people that went to Ironman, all the scientific minds that went to Ironman because they're perplexed at how somebody could maintain this high intensity for 9 hours. They're trying to figure it out. And there's money there, right? Running, cycling. These sports have money. We're not there yet. One day after I'm gone, in the sport of these high intensity, you have to speak about what I said 10 years after I'm gone. Because I don't know too many people that are really invested in knowing what this all equates to.
I mean, it's getting there. I've noticed a drastic change just in the past, like, 6 months. It changed my life personally. I know that you're tight on time, so I want to go more into rapid fire. So people have been asking about this Norwegian method. How do you feel about the Norwegian method? Is it something that it's, I think, the 4x4, the double intensity, all this kind of stuff. Do you think that's something that's universal in all sports, or do you think it's one of these kind of things where they got some runners really fit with it and now they're just all bragging about it?
Well, it's interesting because I shared with you a while back this newfangled toy that I came into, which was heat block training. It comes from the Norwegians. So a lot of these Norwegian athletes are going to these heat block sessions in order to develop their VO2 max and their ability to process lactate and things like this. And it's very profound. It's I don't chase down all their methodologies, but I know that one of the unique things that they are doing is they're using heat block training on these endurance athletes, and it's been profoundly effective. And so I have my athletes doing it. And I'm seeing some pretty amazing results from it, where you get a bump in. So let me back up. When you sweat, it's not impossible. It's pretty common to lose upwards of 1 to as much as 2 liters of sweat in an hour if the intensity's up.
Yep.
A liter of sweat lost is 8 beats per minute gained relative to the same effort.
Yeah.
So let's just say that, you know, you're chumming along at 150 beats per minute. Now you're chumming along at, you know, over 160 beats per minute. That energy cost is substantially greater. And so they figured out through this heat block training that they could get a handle on that, and it's paying off. So all the other things that they're involved in, I can't say that I'm, you know, able to really comment on because I haven't put enough energy into looking into what they're doing.
Okay.
But I do bang the drum about the heat block training. It's great.
Well, just come down to where I live, and that's pretty much all you have an option for.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
No, I just make a joke that it's so hot down here.
Well, I mean, I've had people, they jump in the sauna because they assume that getting in the sauna is going to knock it out.
Yeah.
You know, they're having a contest to see how much heat they can deal with. Yeah. There's a window of opportunity with the heat production that you have to maintain. And so what's been elusive is the ability to monitor that heat production. Actually, sitting here in my desk,
that little temperature thing.
This little dude here.
What is it called? Right?
You put it on your heart rate strap.
Exactly.
What is it called? Core?
And that way you can monitor the extent of the heat that you're producing, what your body core temperature is. And there's a sweet spot, just like with training. There's a sweet spot if you want to develop aerobic or anaerobic metabolism. There's a sweet spot in the heat production. And if you sit in there and do the right thing, you get paid. It starts to really kick in. And it doesn't take that long. I've seen a study, I wrote a training program around it, where inside of about a month pre-competition, you can enhance your capacities by 5-6%. Excuse me.
What's going on with y'all?
Me?
I have this drop off that I think it's Tennessee. I don't know.
Rich is talking about dying with the high rocks, and then he starts coughing, and I'm like, oh, God, it's coming sooner than we thought. And Hunter's sneaking his brains out.
I've only sneezed once. Okay, so we got to get on to the next one. We've only got a couple questions here.
Okay, good.
Okay. How do you feel about this new bullshit ketone business that's all over the internet? I should have said bullshit. I'm sorry. How do you feel about ketones? What? Let me figure out this one company. Ketone.
HVM or HVMN or something.
Yeah. How do you feel about this ketone stuff?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to rant about trying to manipulate metabolism through restriction or increases in one substrate over the other. That's a 5-hour conversation.
All right. So are you going to go thumb up or thumb down? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rich Diaz throwing the fucking heat, baby. Okay.
Caesars. It's like,
all right, let's go on to the next thing. How do you feel about companies and everybody getting all pumped up about companies like Whoop or Oura Ring? You're somebody I trust. What are your thoughts?
Well, the heart rate variability thing, I think people get a little in deep water with that. I've seen friends of yours, I won't mention any names.
Bash them, dude. Fuck them up.
So weird with this whole trying to control and manage their heart rate variability. I mean, if you simply get up in the morning and check your resting heart rate and see if there's any deviation from the previous few days or days leading forward, you have a pretty good sense of how things are going.
Oh, so you're saying everything that I've been saying for the past couple of years with just getting a cheap ass pulse oximeter for $20 makes sense?
I have, by the way, I have a few of those pulse oximeters, but they're not cheap. They were more expensive. And I mean, I don't even do that. I mean, I'm forget about me. I'm talking about banging the drum about these faddish kind of concerns. Yeah. I do want you to monitor your heart rate during training. I have an Oura Ring, you know, it was given to me. And I have a Whoop, it was given to me. I used the Oura for a little while because I wanted to see whether my sleep quality was good relative to the scotch I was consuming.
Yes. This is the study that we need.
It's a funny story because, and I know we're short on time, but it's a funny story because I identified that when I didn't drink, my sleep quality improved. So my wife got excited about that. I lost my Oura Ring because it was kind of loose.
So you start drinking like a madman again.
I looked high and low for this stupid thing. And my wife was ferreting through the trash to find it. She thought I might have threw it in the trash by accident. And my wife doesn't get in the trash, believe me. And so I thought, wow, she really wants me to wear this thing. Anyway, time goes by. I don't have the ring anymore. And so I'm back to drinking scotch. I go to my refrigerator to get some ice for my scotch glass. And the Oura Ring was in the ice maker. It fell into my glass. It was like this message from God. It's like,
stop drinking.
Ring back up. But anyway, okay, Let's go here. Come on.
Give us an honest answer.
Neutral.
If you had the cash, if you had the cash, would you buy it or not?
No.
Okay, so that's a thumbs down. Rich. Let's be honest.
The only reason I give you a lateral on this is because I did see the value in identifying improvement in your sleep cycles. So I got that. But this whole kind of trick your variability.
I'm
not a Harvard level bioengineer, but I could tell you if you drink, you're probably not going to sleep as well if you didn't drink.
They've shown that
surface level shit
is not good. The only problem I have with all of the people trying to, it said I didn't sleep, is they get so caught up into the fact of, well, it said I didn't sleep well, so I must not be rested. And I'm like, well, how do you feel? Because I have days where my Garmin will just say, hey, you got good sleep. And I'm like, I agree with you. I feel fantastic. And there's other days where it says you slept like shit. And I'm like, no, liar. I feel fine. I feel great.
My Garmin also tells me I'm always in terrible shape. I fucking hate my Garmin.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's no question. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Well, we're talking about the masses here, Rich.
Yeah, dude. Come on. We're trying to see. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay, so let's go on to the next thing. Do you still hate carbon-plated shoes?
Oh, God. Yeah. We have a little bit of time.
He threw up in his mouth a little bit.
These are rapid fire.
Carbon-plated shoes.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Next hour.
Hey, does anybody have the data? What the hell happened to the guy who set the marathon world record? How did he pass away? I heard a car accident, but what happened?
He got into a car crash, and the impact, pretty sad story. And I honestly, Rich, maybe you agree. I actually think he was on the verge of breaking 2 hours in a actual race.
Well, I can tell you that now that it's been done, it will happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been proven that a man could. That's what needs to have happened for accomplishments to occur.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to
happen with a mile. Yeah. Like when nobody said anybody was going to go under 5 minute mile, and then somebody did it, and then everybody starts doing it. Same with 4 minute mile, and then boom, it just. Yeah.
So what happened? Where was the car accident? What actually happened? I mean, you got to be fucking going crazy to blast yourself that hard and kill two people in a car.
I think he was a passenger.
It's crazy, dude. Okay.
Sad.
New subject.
Very sad, but okay.
Rich, mileage or intensity?
It depends.
Where would you start?
We're talking about our sport.
Oh, High Rocks? Okay.
I can tell you that the people I'm coaching right now, they're not doing hardly any low intensity training. It's moderate to high intensity all the time.
A couple of very high level athletes that I know in the sport started just cranking their mileage up like crazy. And their the last race that they just had over in, the fuck is it called? Vienna was not good. They both got what I like to call mollywopped.
Well, that goes back to what Rich said earlier, was they're not training the upper threshold, and then they start the race and they go right into it. And their body's like, what are we doing? We have not been training this.
So I used this analogy the other day with one of my clients. It's like, Hunter, you and I are running down the road, and our intent was we're going to run a 10K. So intuitively, you're going to have that 10K pace going, right? Let's just say 4 miles in, I say, hey, Hunter, screw that. Let's just do a marathon. I won't have to say another word. You're going to slow down. Your intuition is like, shit, if we're going to go that far, I'm going to have to throttle down a little bit to make that happen, right? So let's just think that, okay, I'm trying to make that volume happen. What do you think you're going to end up doing? You got to throttle down. So there you go. You're dancing in the wrong party, right? Not to mention, you're starting to solicit the slow twitch fibers. You're starting to morph your touch system. It's just not in the cards for an anaerobic athlete. Just not.
I like your style.
Mike.
I like your style.
Low intensity?
It's going down. Low intensity, did you say?
Yeah,
intensity. Intensity.
Oh, yeah. Intensity's up. Thumbs up. Double thumbs up.
I'm loving this new voting feature. This is great.
So
it's not new, but.
Let's see here also. Well, so you're coming out here March what? 23rd?
I think I'm due to be with you, I think, on the 23rd. I'm showing up on the – we shouldn't tell people this. I don't want people to show up. Right?
Nobody's coming over. I got a gun.
All right. You got to hide.
I got a 44 Magnum. The only person who's ever been able to show up here and surprise me was VJ. Okay. Without any information, he was able to use like Google Maps and Strava to find my house. It was pretty fucking scary.
I call it the crow's nest.
I love it up here, dude. I just get such good training. So we got a Woodway treadmill being shipped in. So we got a high performance treadmill.
It's in route. I'm getting delivery dates today. Check in. I got an update on it.
High performance treadmill, dude. So we got thank you for that, Parker. Oh yeah. So we got high performance treadmill. It goes to 15 miles an hour, which is good enough. I mean, you used to have me running up at 20 miles an hour sometime, which I hated. But 15 is good enough for me. Keep it safe. My legs are old, and you know, by the time you got here, dude, I should be pretty tuned up. The bulk pony is ready to fucking dance.
Well, I'm going to help you with that dance.
Well, we're going to probably see each other two or three times before World Championships, so it's not all talk, all rich talk.
Our deal is, listen, I stepped up. I finally stepped up. I said, okay, I'm coming. You're coming here.
It's fine. Rich just loves to just get all upset with me for offering to have him out to sunny California.
Listen, we're going
to
flip a coin for the third trip.
That's right, dude. That's right. All right. Well, let's get some fucking work in, dude. Let's close in on some solid times, whoop the shit out of the competition, and have some scotch while doing it. I'll make sure your bottle's here by the time you get here. Bourbon?
It's bourbon, though.
Well, I've got friends. I'm friends with this guy who's we've been cycling together. He's this very top level wine guy. Goes around the world getting the highest level wine in the industry. So I will have a bottle of bourbon ready for you by the time you get here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make you smoke a Cuban cigar and drink some bourbon. That's going to be a good training episode for you.
Dude, I don't know if you know this. Miles all the time.
Did you say you have a wine guy and then he's going to get you bourbon?
Well, you know, dude, it's like it's saying that you have like a horse guy, but he probably also knows the phone number for a good cow. Like he just, you know.
Yeah, it's like I got what you were saying. It's like he's got connections. He's like, actually, here, let's hit up this dude.
Yeah. It couldn't be that big of a shift. Yeah.
Just because he is a wine guy doesn't mean he probably only drinks wine.
Dude, he's a savage, man. He's been out here ripping the balance of this, dude. I really like the guy. All right, brother. Like, this was fucking awesome. I think you always tend to have the biggest hits for us because people actually know that they can learn, where most of our guests are just seem like they're moving through time and space aimlessly. I'm grateful, dude. I had a really good time. I know that we have a lot ahead of us. Guys, I honestly can say this from the bottom of my heart. Rich is the Yoda of this industry. So if you guys can make yourselves your way to the swamps of Tennessee, it's worth your time. You know,
I'm starting to look like Yoda.
I know he lives in a tree. You know,
starting to look like Yoda.
Yeah.
You should call your new training camp Dagobah.
There you go, dude. All right, boys. Okay. It was great seeing you all this morning. Rich, you all good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, guys. Pleasure.
I'm looking forward to coming. If anybody wants to talk about your books or find your books, where can they find them?
The website, dshumanperformance.com. Look, I got a sign on.
The Secret Lab.
I don't have
work. DHP.
You guys see that?
Don't go there. You won't find it. dshumanperformance.com. And then they can hit me up, virtual coaching. I do analysis virtually. It's very, very powerful stuff. I have a really cool software system where I can bring the video, like not like what he was doing with his stupid little, whatever that was that he was showing me. I bring that shit up and make it look clean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I had an absolute blast. Guys, everybody who's on the side watching, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Obviously, I'm going to give the big shout out. If you're looking for excellent training, Rich is the guy. He's been such a guru to me for such a long time. Obviously, I don't lightly let people into my camp because we're at the top of the ladder and the only way we can go is up, and he has that kind of influence. So shout out to Rich. If you guys are looking for anything that might be in the camp of supplements, I'm just going to say I may or may not have resources to get you guys the best stuff in the industry. Go to buildersports.com or Builder International, guys. Check it out. It's something we've all worked really hard on. I'm really proud of the team.
Hey, we're working on the X2 for international. We have a invoice that is going to be paid today, and they're going to be moving product into the warehouse within the next 2 days. It takes time for the trucking company to go from point A to point B. That takes about 2 or 3 days. So we should be seeing by the end of February.
You guys X2. Got the inside scoop of how it all works.
There you go.
All right, also, guys.
The hoodies, Hunter. You're putting in the final order today. Final orders. Like, there's no more on the website, but we are, we've calculated, tallied, and those are going to the manufacturer. And so they're about to be produced. So yes, you aren't going to see anything. The money is now being put to the manufacturer, and those are being printed.
Well, guys, thanks everyone for supporting what we're doing. Rich, stay classy, my friend. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes, you will. Thanks, guys.
Adios, brother.
See ya.
And stream.